So now it's time for our congregational prayer. Before I do that, I want to point out that we have four prayer quilts up here this morning. So as we leave the sanctuary this morning, won't you please tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card as we pray for their quick and complete recovery, and let them feel the warmth of God's love as they wrap themselves up in these four beautiful quilts. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. We pray to our Lord Jesus Christ in a time that we find ourselves in turmoil and strife, that you will grant us peace. We know in our heads that you have already given us the gift of peace, but in our hearts we admit, if only to ourselves, that we are divided. Even as people of God, we find ourselves divided. And we ask this morning that your healing touch and guiding light would be felt in our lives. Lord, we live in red states, blue states. We wear green, white, blue, maize, and yes, even black and old gold. We use plastic and paper. We criticize everyone that lives differently, dresses differently, or acts differently. We pray for your gift of peace, even while knowing that means somewhere in the corner of your heart, you will grant peace to others as well, maybe even to those that wear scarlet and gray. Help us to know what to do. What is the one thing we can do that would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord? Lord, we pray for health and healing in our lack of health. We pray for safety and your protection in our lack of safety. We pray for shelter and your warmth in our lack of shelter. We pray for good food that we will have this week as we celebrate Thanksgiving, and for the hungry that will have little to celebrate. We pray for these things and all of the other things that you know are on our hearts and minds. And now, the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Kevin. This sermon series that we're covering right now has only been going on for three short weeks. This is the third week. Sherry spoke on comfort for all and mercy for all. If you weren't here to hear those, you can go online to www.brightonfumc.org and listen to the podcasts. This week, we're going to be looking at hope for all. Please pray with me. O God, Father of us all, May the words of my lips and the listening ears of our hearts be measured and found acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, real quick, spoiler alert. I'm going to start off at the end of the scripture that we had read from Paul's book to the Romans. The hope of Christ is available to everyone. And this is because he died for us while we were still sinners. I want to read again verses 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, think about that. It's incredible what Christ did. He died for all of us. And it's not like the world stopped sinning after he died, or on the third day when he rose again. And I think Christ knew this, and he still gave the ultimate sacrifice. He died for us. On December 4th, 2006, PFC Ross A. McGinnis's platoon was on mounted patrol in Iraq. Now, he was the rear gunner on the Humvee, and there were four other soldiers inside. During the patrol, an unidentified insurgent threw a fragmentation grenade into the Humvee. Now, Ross McGinnis could have just jumped out. That would be my first reaction, but that's not what he did. McGinnis threw his back over the grenade, pinning it between his body and the Humvee's radio mount. He absorbed the lethal fragments and the concussive effects of the grenade, and he was killed. In a statement issued by his parents shortly after the incident, here's what they said, and I quote, "The choice for Ross was simple, but simple does not mean easy. His straightforward answer to a simple but difficult choice should stand out as a shining example for the rest of us. We all face simple choices. But how often do we choose to make a sacrifice to get to the right answer?" Ross A. McGinnis received the Medal of Honor posthumously on June 2nd, 2008. Christ died for all of us. This gives us hope. Today's scripture begins with the word therefore. Now, whenever we see therefore in scripture, it means that something came before this that is key to us understanding what is coming next. So I invite you to pull out your Bible when you get home, turn to Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through chapter 4, verses 25. Heck, open it up on your iPad or on your phone and read those verses. That's what leads up to today's reading. It'll probably give you some additional insights and maybe some additional questions as well. Scripture also says, "We have been justified through faith and found peace with God through Christ. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God." Now, if it stopped there, I think that would be fine for most of us. But see, Paul keeps going, and he takes an interesting turn. Paul goes on to say that we glory in our sufferings. All right, clearly, sufferings aren't fun or easy. How can we glory in them? And Paul points out it's because suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character leads to hope. So for all the engineers and process people, and all of you methodists, Paul lays out a process to help us get to hope in this broken world. And it does not put us to shame. When you first read that, you wonder, how could hope possibly put us to shame? And what Paul was doing is, for the first readers and hearers of this, he was quoting Psalm 25:3. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. Paul's reinforcing that the hope is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, let's go back to the process. It starts with suffering, which is part of the human condition. Every one of us suffers. Even Christ suffered. We just can't get away from it. And you see, peace with God does not necessarily mean peace with others. In Paul's time, the Christians were being persecuted. They were being killed. They were experiencing pain brought by others. That's some difficult suffering. Now, we also suffer, and it may not seem so great to Paul. If you're a Detroit Lions fan, that shadowy place is the Super Bowl. No lion has ever been there. All right, that's important to us. I don't think it's what Paul had in mind. I think Paul was talking more about Job. Job knew about suffering. His entire family, all of his servants, all of his livestock, they're all killed. The only ones that survive are Job and his wife. His home's destroyed. Job is suffering. But Job does something remarkable. He stays loyal to God. So, turn it up a notch. Job gets nasty boils, a rash all over his body, blisters. He winds up sitting in the dump, taking shards of pottery and doing everything he can and scraping the blisters to try to make himself feel better. Ugh. And when Job's friends first arrive, here's what it says in Job 2, starting at verse 12. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their head. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. And through all this, Job stayed loyal to God. Now, if you want to read the whole story of how all these tragedies came about and how it concluded, read the book of Job. You'll get to hear about how his friends came to help, and I put that in quotes, and God responding to Job, but not in the way he would think. Turn to the Old Testament, find Job, read it. It's an amazing story. Suffering leads to endurance. Job hangs in there. He endures. See, nowhere in the writings does Paul say your sufferings are going to end. Just take a minute. Think about a time where you were suffering and had to endure. Was it physical? Was it emotional? Was it spiritual? I'm a runner. All right, I used to be a runner. Now I'm more of a plodder, one foot in front of the other. But when I was running marathons. And when you run a marathon, you are accepting that you are going to suffer. You are going to hit the wall. And when you hit the wall, you have to keep going because you're not done yet. So, marathoners are a bit weird, which I guess I fit that category. We choose to suffer. However, what we can do to minimize it is practice. We can train, which means we run a lot. And I tried different programs, and I found one that actually had a run in it of 30 miles. A marathon's only 26.2 miles. So this program had me running past the finish line. And it worked. I ran my fastest time ever. And I'm never going to use that program again. But endurance leads to character. Paul and Silas in Acts 16, verses 22 through 25. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas had character. They suffered and showed endurance, but they didn't stop there. Their love of God could not be contained, and they would not be silenced. And in the end, even the jailer accepted Christ. This is a report from CNN telling about what happened on December 17th, 2015. And I quote, "There's a saying that the true character of a person shines in a time of crisis. There's no doubt that Xavion William Dobson's character, according to the 15-year-old friends and family who are mourning his death. Thursday evening, the football player jumped on top of three girls to shield them from a spray of bullets in Knoxville, Tennessee. Xavion Dobson made a decision to protect others, and he was killed in that moment. He showed us where his heart was, protecting others, not thinking about himself. Xavion Dobson, 15 years old. Specialist Ross A. McGinnis, 19 years old. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. John 15:13. Suffering, endurance, character, hope. Once you choose hope, anything is possible. Christopher Reeves. And if we follow the process that Paul sets out in Romans, we are choosing hope. Because if you stop anywhere else in the process, we may fail to recognize the hope that Christ gives us, hope that is in all of us. Now, sometimes you have to hold on to hope for a long time, right, John Phillips? You may have to hold on to it for 108 years. The Chicago Cubs, that's how long that city and their fans held out, and this year they won the World Series again. My experience has been that there is, surprisingly, always hope. This is from the doctor, Doctor Who. Michael Frost is an Australian minister, and he shared this real-life story. It's Vienna, Austria, the period leading up to World War II. There are three Jewish psychiatrists. Two are learned masters in the field, and one is the young apprentice. The first master, you may have heard of him, Sigmund Freud. Now, Freud spent years studying people, trying to understand what makes us tick. Now, he reached the conclusion that the most basic drive in human beings is the drive for pleasure. It is our need for pleasure that explains what we do, how we live. The second master is Alfred Adler. Now, he also has spent years studying human behavior, and his studies led him to disagree with Freud. Adler is convinced that the bottom line explanation for all human behavior is power. All of us grow up feeling inferior and powerless. Life is a drive to gain control, to feel we are important. Now, the third man, this young up-and-coming psychiatrist, his name is Viktor Frankl. Now, he wants to follow in the footsteps of his mentor, but before he can, World War II breaks out. The Nazis invade, and the Jews are at risk. Now, Freud and Adler, they're world-renowned. They were able to escape. They had connections. Frankl wasn't so lucky. Hitler invades, he's captured, arrested, and thrown into a Nazi concentration camp for 4 long years. After the war was over, Frankl is released from the concentration camp, and he starts back up his career. He reflects back on the time as a prisoner, and he noticed something quite strange. The people who survived were not always the ones that you would expect. Many who were physically strong, they wasted away and died. While others who were physically weak, they actually grew stronger and they survived. And Frankl asked why. What was it that enabled them to hang on through a living hell? Frankl looked back at the theories that his mentors used. Freud's pleasure principle couldn't explain it. For 4 desperate and terrible years, those in the camp, all they knew was pain, suffering, degradation. Pleasure was not a word in their vocabulary. So it wasn't pleasure that kept them going. Adler, his theory was power is the basic human need. Well, in this instance, that doesn't fare well either. Frankl and his fellow Jews were completely powerless during their time in the concentration camps. Each day they stared down the barrel of a loaded gun. They were treated like animals, felt jackboots on their faces. They had no power, no prospect of power. Viktor Frankl came up with his own theory. The difference between those who survived and those who perished was hope. Those who survived never gave up their belief that their lives had meaning, that despite everything going on around them, one day they would live meaningful, purposeful lives. So what is the one basic human drive? What's the one thing that gives life value? It's the ability to live with a sense of meaning. Not pleasure, not power, hope. And for us, our hope is in Christ. He is hope. He gave the ultimate sacrifice and rose again. This hope never fades, and it is for everyone. Next week, we'll be entering the season of Advent, the first Sunday of the church year. And the messages that we'll be delivering over those 4 weeks will be based on George Acevedo's book, Sent, Delivering the Gift of Hope at Christmas. Now, the sermons will be based on it, and we also have the book available if you want to read along with it and enhance the experience. Or you could sign up on the back of your connection card and join one of the small groups that will be meeting during the week to discuss it and go even deeper. Discuss the messages. Take some time. Get ready for the coming of hope. You're all thinking, okay, he's done. No challenge this week. Good. I can just enjoy. Well, we do have a challenge. And it's this week, it's to be intentional. about preparing for the coming of Christ, the coming of hope. This week, go out and be hope to others. Find hope in yourselves and accept hope from others. Please pray with me. Jesus, you are our glory, love, our salvation, our hope. When we are suffering, help us to move to endurance, character, and ultimately hope. May we accept God's love that has been poured out to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.